Get better me for hitting him.
No.
You're just fine. Yeah. We're ready whenever you are.
All right, I'd like to call order this regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Commissioners of Meridian Wealth Corporations a couple minutes after 4 on Wednesday, March 27th, 2019. And for those of you that don't know who I am, I apologize for missing the last couple of meetings. I've been having some issues with my back that hopefully I can get dealt with and show up more regularly. So, let's do the roll call attendance. Commissioner Mueller is absent. Commissioner Blasek is
here.
Commissioner Bassalon
here.
Commissioner Beer
here.
Commissioner McCarville
here.
Commissioner Ritter
here.
Commissioner Bevan
here.
Commissioner Burton
here.
Council Lakey.
Also here.
And Administrator Squires.
Here.
All right, we have a motion to confirm the agenda.
Mr. Chair, I move we approve the agenda as printed.
Second. So a motion by Commissioner Beard, second by Commissioner McCarville. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That sounded unanimous. The consent agenda.
Aye.
Commissioner Bassalon?
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeard?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville?
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan?
Aye.
Commissioner Burton?
Aye.
And Chairman's an aye as well. Legislative update. Scott, would you like to join us, please?
Sure.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. You have a brief update on the House bill we discussed last time, stadium. Few changes were made to this legislation. I'll give you a quick reminder of what this bill was attempting to do. The idea, the original intent behind it was to require any public monies from urban renewal districts that would be spent on a municipal building construction-wise or a stadium project. Any money period that would be expended for those projects would require a vote of the electors in the city, a 55% vote. So that was the bill that got through the House, got over to the Senate, and the Senate committee made some changes to it to clarify a little bit of what they were trying to do and to put some minimum standards in. So what the bill does today, it still, I think, restricts the ability to spend urban renewal dollars on projects. They've added a couple of components to it now. One of the components is expenditures of a combination of urban renewal money or any other public money, so like, for example, auditorium district money, any combination of that on a project where the cost of those monies would exceed 51% of the project cost, and that project would be over $1 million, it would then trigger a vote of 60%. So maybe it's better to think of it as an if-then statement. So if your project cost is 51% or more of a $1 million project, then you have to get a vote of the people. And this is only for municipal buildings and stadiums. So, again, as we've discussed, I don't think Meridian's in the danger here from call an election to get a 60% vote. So, the one of the arguments that came up, and there are others that could speak to this, I'm sure, in the room, actually, has been coming to the hearings and has been obviously involved. The issue that came up is the ability to bring in different pots of public money to supplement that original piece of it. So that's been resolved now through the 51% or more. Another key component to this is there's some intent language in here that says if it's the intent to lease a building, one of these specific municipal buildings, so that's also not covered, so there can be no leasebacks. Again, this this has always been targeted at any building that's not going to contribute to the public tax roll. So that's the whole intent. If you're going to use this specific pot of money or these pots of money, and that building isn't going to be contributing to the tax roll, the legislators felt that there needed to be some public involvement on how that money is spent. So they've created some minimum standards. So if a project is under $1 million and it's a city building or a stadium, and less than 51% of that project is going to be from public monies, then it would not trigger a vote. So there's still some smaller projects that could be done that would meet the definition, so that you don't have to always have a vote if there's some small project that needs to occur. So the Senate will likely get to that today, and then once they pass it, it'll need to go back to the House. Since it's originated from them, they'll have to accept those changes as well. And assuming that happens, the governor would then consider it for his signature or not. So we'll see. I don't know how much longer the legislature will be in, but I suspect new day now. So I don't have to answer any questions.
What's the likelihood, do you think, of the House approving the changes?
Pretty good. I talked to the sponsors after the Senate committee, or after the Senate passed the amendments. They seemed comfortable with it. They really liked the fact that it went back to 60% on the vote of the people. That seemed to be good. And there was an emergency clause that was removed, which meant if the bill would have, as soon as it would have passed and the governor signs it with an emergency clause, that becomes effective immediately as opposed to waiting until just July 1st. So it closes that gap. That emergency clause came out. So I guess, presumably, some city somewhere could do something between now and January 1st.
So we better get on it if we're going to build a stadium.
You're going to get a stadium in here and you the rest of you better get on it. So.
How fast can our
Scott, public money is kind of an all-encompassing term. Almost any money that any governmental agency derives from taxing the public is public money. It isn't just auditorium districts and urban renewal. It could be city council. It could be a water district. So is that 51% of public money that all-encompassing? So this has become more than just an urban renewal bill?
Mr. Chairman, and yes. In fact, so they included a definition for public funds. You are correct in your statement. I'll read you the definition. Public funds shall mean the funds collected or received by a public body, but shall not include grants or donations from private entities or individuals to the public body. And public body is also defined as the same meaning as provided in a different section of code, which that section what that public body is. So to the extent a city, city councils or county commissioners expend money like this, they already have to go through a vote, right? So that's the mechanism whereby the voters get to be involved. And so the intent was to capture these other districts that have non-elected board members that may not levy taxes, but they collect them, which is why you see that language. Specific wording that receive public funds that are collected, not
like for a library or
so. And that was very deliberate language. I know when I initially spoke with the chairman of the tax committee on the Senate side, who was the sponsor for the amendments, that was kind of his priority number. Pull that piece together so that it could be all encompassing. So you heard correctly, that was the intent, was to cast a wider net.
Any other board members have questions for Scott? Anything? We'll start doing it in phases now.
Yeah.
That's all. No, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I guess the sort of the irony and all that. There's a little bit of irony. 2 years ago, there was a bill that I do think there's some value in having a renewal district's that ability. And the other point I would mention too, because I know Todd spent a lot of time on this, infrastructure as it's defined in here is not included in this. So what that means is if the city wants to contribute the funds to provide, or I'm sorry, if the urban renewal district wants to provide the funds for all of the infrastructure for either a municipal building as defined or a stadium, it can do that. If it's a $5 million infrastructure package, it can do that. There's no vote requirement for that, because that's the idea. That's the whole intent of the district, is to really get that infrastructure out. So that's preserved and protected. It's clarified. I know that Joe also spent time providing language that ensures that there's no, run over into other sections of Idaho code that you potentially say, well, you can't use infrastructure for this, so we're definitely safe on the infrastructure for that. So in this example, if CCDC wanted to provide infrastructure funding for any of their projects that they're considering that might fall into the category of the municipal building or a sports stadium complex, they could still provide all that funding for infrastructure. So still got that.
Anybody else?
I don't think I meant if I missed anything.
I think we covered the infrastructure. I think the $1 million threshold applies to a remodel. If I remember correctly. But the 51% is for the public, for a public building. And that public building now is, the previous version was a including but not limited to, so an undefined box. It's back to a defined box. So a public building is only these things. And then including a stadium complex, a sports stadium complex. So it's back to the tighter box. And then infrastructure is excluded. So I think you hit everything.
So just so I'm clear, you're saying that the $1 million applies only to remodel?
And multipurpose?
Okay, so I guess I see how you're reading
right. I didn't read it that way either.
Really?
Uh-uh.
So
not initially.
I'll read it out loud for everyone. So, notwithstanding the provision of blah, 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 the urban renewal agencies do expend revenue collected under this chapter on project costs when either the amount of the revenue collected under this chapter or some other revenue collected under this chapter plus any other public funds, not including federal funds, contributes to 51% or more of the total project cost, and the project is for the construction of a municipal building or a stadium, or the remodel of such building or complex stadium with a total project cost exceeding $1 million, unless construction project is first approved. So by 60% of the vote. So that's a...
I know the intent was
to have it to have for the remodel only.
Have for the remodel.
I remember that debate. I mean, I remember that was part of the discussion.
Oscar, commas mean something.
Well, commas mean something. When you say, let's eat, comma, grandpa, or let's eat, grandma. Punctuation can't kill.
And that they're grammarly.
So, okay, well, that's the basis of where it is today. We'll see as it gets through the next stage, next day or two.
Well, thanks for the update.
Thanks, Scott.
Probably see you back next time.
Yep, in 2 weeks. Time,
yeah. Good work, Scott.
On to the Main Meridian Project Milestone update. It's Denise, right?
Yes.
That's okay. We would maybe introduce yourself to everybody.
Denise Carter with Pacific West Communities. And Josh is gone, so I get to fill in. So we are well underway. The plans are about 90% complete. They anticipate submitting to the building department approximately touches that are happening right now inside of the buildings. We're bidding all of the demolition. Those bids are all due on April 3rd. And we've also met with Ashley and Natalie last week. We were planning the grand opening for May 13th. We're hoping to have all the demo done. But depending on what the final lab results show, which those should be in within a week, that might impact having a clean site versus having some stuff still going on. So,
Courtney was working.
They're hoping to have whatever, wherever we want to do it, they're hoping to at least have that whole area cleaned up. So,
so we won't have to wear hazmat suits.
That's the goal. And so, you know, that's kind of where we're at with everything, but we're on track, and Pacific West Builders is going to be doing the construction on it, so we're what's also building Paramount, so that's basically all the update that I have. If you have any questions.
And we very nicely asked Denise to take over the project management role in terms of providing the reports to MDC and the city, and she has agreed to be able to do so. So we'll start seeing those on Mondays after she meets with her team. So we'll be able to give you all more specificity as we have some of these dates tied down a little bit more after demo permits and et cetera are given out.
Was that Josh doing those before?
Yes.
Yeah.
When was our demo date again?
We don't have a specific date yet. The bids are due on the 3rd of April.
Okay. We're hoping to start soon. So. I did get one note from our engineer on it. He stated that the city's requesting the sewer main serving the project be relocated from the alley to East Idaho. But they have that in their 2021 plan and declined to move.
So the conversation I've been having with Walt Lindgren, the architect, is that that is true that the city is not going to be able to move that project up. So they're going to most likely come back to us once they have better numbers as to what that cost will be, and we'll probably include it or request to include it in the owner participation agreement for a reimbursement through the TIF. So we'll probably see an amendment coming forth fairly quickly on that.
So they would construct it all?
Yes, they would construct it, and then because they hadn't planned on including that as part of their responsibilities.
Right. But it wouldn't be leaving it connected to the main of the alley?
That's not a possibility.
The stub on the street side, no? Okay.
So and then there was also another note about NACHD. They don't support the emission of the left turn lane, and so they're still working with staff. One design element that we might consider is emission of the city's landscape medians on Idaho Avenue, on the Idaho Avenue approach, to increase the parking and offset the loss of the plant stalls and keep that left-hand turn lane.
Cameron and I will speak with ACHD as well, too, and see what we can do to assist in that matter.
They said that the engineer said he'd have more on that next week. So okay.
Did they give a reason why? Yeah, didn't they originally give us preliminary?
I thought
left turn was going to be fine as long as the parking got changed simultaneously.
They removed the left turn lane and then put in the parking instead. But the traffic numbers were so low on both sections of Idaho Avenue between Meridian and Main and East 2nd, they allowed us to remove it with the Main to East 2nd reconstruction last year. So I'm not sure. Well, Cameron and I will follow up with that and see what we can do to assist.
And if there's a section where you want to hold the grand opening, he said they can start there. And so
okay.
Let me know what.
Okay.
He suggested Broadway and Main Corner.
I do too.
Okay.
I'll run that by Natalie, but I think that would be just fine.
All right. Great.
Well, any questions before we lose it? No? Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing the wrecking ball.
So do we.
The wrecking toilet. all right. Consideration of approval of the downtown sidewalk contract with Brighton on construction corresponding resolution 19-016. Ashley, you're being invited.
Mr. Chairman, before Todd gets started, I apologize. I just looked at the packets right before I came in, and it was fine in the PDF I sent you all, but for whatever reason, the printers didn't do the print to size function, so they're a little off in your packets, and I apologize for that.
So, Mr. Chairman, as far as my part goes, Brycon has, I think, given us pretty much everything we need for the contract document set. We've received the performance bond and the payment bond. We also have the certificate of insurance, and they signed the documents. I filled in the blanks on the pages on the performance bond, the payment bond, and the drawings, and the addendum and the bid documents. So I'll need an initial on that page, and then a signature on the main page. But it also does include the language that this is contingent on the city reallocating those CDBG dollars. And if they don't, then we send them a notice and the contract is null and void. If they do, then we send them a notice and it includes a notice to proceed and go ahead and get started. But they're not going to start until they get that notice from us. And then, remind me the time frame on that next month?
The City Council will open the public comment period. That is one of the necessary actions that has to be taken for these type of projects. It starts this Friday and will go through, I think, April 26th, if I'm remembering correctly. It's a 30-day comment period in order to be able to accumulate any comments, and then the Council will take final action at this point. At that point. I don't anticipate there will be any issues, but it's just something, an additional step that we'll have to go through. The contractor is aware of this time frame and has agreed to that. His bid initially had flexibility to be able to get the project done before November of this year, so there's plenty of time to be able to do that, and it doesn't affect his bid documents in any way.
Resolution 9016.
I have to write it out in Spanish to really. A resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the construction contract for certain sidewalk and related improvements between the Meridian Development Corporation and Brycon Inc. Authorizing the execution of the agreement by the chairman or vice chairman and secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the agreement, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the agreement, and providing an effective date.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve resolution number 19-016 as written to my husband.
Second by Commissioner Byrd. Is there any discussion? Not. We'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Blessing.
Aye.
Commissioner Vassalon.
Aye.
Commissioner Beard.
Aye.
Commissioner Hurdle.
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevin.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd.
Aye.
I am an aye as well.
Someday
we will sign. Yeah, it's getting closer and closer.
We're
going to
have a party.
Getting close.
Members of the board, as we typically do this at this meeting, this is the adoption of our annual report for the former fiscal year of 2018. You know, as I was putting this together, initially I was a little worried because it felt like, you know, we didn't really necessarily execute on a ton of things last year, but when you start putting it down, we actually did a lot of work, a lot of behind-the-scenes work, strategic planning, and putting things into play. And so I think that that plays itself out throughout the annual report. Vice Chairman Mueller put together the letter from the MDC membership, and we definitely wanted to be able to say a little something about Keith in our annual report. He was such an important portion, or part of this board for so many years. And as I have typically done the last couple of years, I've broken it down to our downtown urban renewal district and then our 10-mile district. I didn't include our fiscal year audit as a part of this because we've already adopted that, but that will be something that will be added on to this document for the public and also for the city, as we need to adopt this today and forward that to them by the end of this month. I'm open to any comments that you all might have, any modifications you would like to see prior to submitting this to the city. There's no ego here, so whatever makes you all happy and comfortable, I'm happy to do.
Mr. Chairman, this is also one of those when you get ready that you kind of specifically need to ask if there's any public comment on per the code. When we put it on the agenda, this one in the budget requires an opportunity for public comment.
Okay. You don't have to have a public hearing.
No, this is a comment.
Okay. So, Cameron. At what point would we need to do that?
Whenever you would like. Do it now and I'll discuss, or you can discuss and then do it.
Okay, well, that's the case. I'll open it up to any public comment. If anyone has any comment on our proposed annual report, you're welcome to make it at this time. If not, that would be good work. All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair,
Commissioner
Greer. I think this looks great. A lot of activity last year. I would just suggest on page 22 that we get the 10 mile. The American philosophy, these are the same projects, these two pictures.
I will see what I can get from Brighton.
just from a different.
Yes,
sure.
I
sent it to Brighton and said, what photos would you like included? And those were the two that John sent me. So.
So you need to start.
I will follow. No, that's okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Also, what are those estimates of 57,000 visitors?
It's actually not accurate. In fact, yesterday alone, there were 500 visitors. The first day it was open for the spring break in West Data. And to date, after 3 months, there have been well over 30,000 visitors. So that is low, but that was the estimate. The outdoor area is great. If you haven't seen the outdoor area, which, by the way, the City Historic Commission helped donate to the Wall Cabin, which is great, with the games that children played for the last 100 years, and of course, what Meridian Development Corporation did with the facade improvement for the building, as was noted. So the community involvement
wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah, with your Baptist. Well, it wasn't 500 kids, it was 500 visitors, adults.
Resolution 19-017, resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, accepting and approving the 2018 annual report for the Meridian Development Corporation, authorizing and directing the administrator to take all necessary action required regarding the annual report and providing an effective date.
Thank you. There's a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Blassett.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 19-017 with the minor corrections.
Motion by Commissioner Vlasic and a second by Commissioner Purple. Any further discussion? Not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Vlasic?
Aye.
Commissioner Besselman?
Aye.
Commissioner Beard?
Aye.
Commissioner Purple?
Aye.
Commissioner Ritter?
Aye.
Commissioner Besselman?
Aye.
Commissioner Burt?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well.
Nicely done again,
Ashley. Yeah, thank you, Ashley,
thank
for
you.
Our work. And Nathan's not here, but thanks to him for pinch hitting. Okay, on to the property and downtown parking committee update. Steve,
that one. Mr. Chair, members of the board, a couple updates. On our last meeting, ERT met with us and gave us an update on the rides, and of course, they're well up from the previous by about 111 more rides. They went last month from like 857 clear up to like 968. So they're up quite a bit. The other great news that they let us know, the van is here. The other van is here. I don't know if it's out on the road yet or if anybody's seen it.
It's supposed to be this week.
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Keep an eye out. So that's great news.
I might have to use it.
Yeah. There you go. The other thing, we had an update from Richard on the code enforcement, you know, getting ready for this big project downtown. Kind of just to get sediment control and stuff like that with all the traffic and, you know, fencing and stuff like that that's going to be required. Kind of went over those things that they're preparing for once this construction starts across the street. We also reviewed the Heritage Hop House facade improvement. I think the committee felt that we didn't have as much information as far as visual aid and what they were proposing to do to take any kind of vote on it right now. So I think there's a couple other meetings that are happening. Some of the things that did come back on the list from Cody were definite items that we couldn't approve per council's request and, you know, info that he's given us. Some of the stuff that's already been done that we couldn't act on, and then some of the things that were not directly public benefit that were inside the building, there's probably going to be a little bit of slush on some of that stuff, so we'll probably revisit that before. Slush, yeah, on what really is public. Well, the comment came up, this concept, which is unbelievably great, I think, for the public to get involved with this kitchen. And the problem is it a tenant benefit? Is it a building owner benefit? Or is it really going to be a public benefit inside the building? Things like that, we kind of decide without seeing some of that pictures and information how much that we could really say is a facade improvement and a benefit to the public that would be passing by and not inside the building. So we're taking a look at that closer once we get some of that information and where they're at in the permitting process, because that was a big question. If they were underway with some of that stuff, we couldn't participate because they've already started like in engineering, architectural stuff like that, that got started that we could vote on. So we're waiting for clarification on that.
And Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Vlasic, we, members of the board, we received some information back from Cody and his team. They are meeting with their Jim Escobar, who is their architect, this Friday, and they're going to put together that remaining information for us and those clarifications that we need. He was just really grateful for the feedback and wanted to thank the board. He's just getting back into town from being out of the country for a week and a half, so he said he'll get that back to us just as quickly as he can and answer our questions.
And we all have the appropriate permits, too.
That's what we understand. I think Caleb would want to see that, too. So anyway, that will probably come through the board, and we'll make our recommendation for that next board meeting. So other than that, I think the regular stuff that Ashley gave us updates on, UP property, 9 Mile, and I think everything else we've all been updated on today as far as those projects. Ashley, did I miss anything?
I don't think so. Good job. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, in your packet towards the back are the upcoming committee meetings. Nothing out of the ordinary. And as you heard, May 13th, please put that on your calendar. I'll send also a invite as well, 4:30 p.m. For the groundbreaking. Took a little bit of wrangling between everybody's schedules to get a date, but May 13th.
Are we calling it officially a groundbreaking?
We made that decision that, yes, it is going to be called a groundbreaking.
What was the timing in action?
4:30. I was told and asked by both Pacific Companies and Josh, no hard hats and no shovels. It's part of this. We'll keep you informed. Yeah, I think it will. But.
Okay, council's report.
Nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Administrator's report?
Nothing further, thank you.
Wow, this is a quick meeting. Chairman's report, I'd like to keep us here for another 15 or 20 minutes. So I have nothing further to add. Is there any public comment?
I was waiting.
Do we have a second?
No,
you move your motion. Is that
okay? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. That's not in your name. Thanks, everybody.